Hi, this is Andrew.
And this is Amy, and in this episode, AADL talks to local family business owners Charles Schlanderer Jr. and Charles Schlanderer Sr.
Jackie and Debbie talked to the Schlanderers about starting a business during the height of the Great Depression, operating a business in a historic building, and why the biggest sales aren't necessarily the most memorable.
Tell me, who started the business?
My grandfather and my dad and my uncle.
All right. And that was, what year was that?
32 or 33.
All right. And when did you get into the business? As a young man, were you expected to work in the store?
Well, I did work in the store through high school. And then when I got out of college and out of the service, 57, I started to work there then full-time. But I had worked there summers, and I had worked there Saturdays and stuff like that all through from the time I was in high school.
Okay. Chuck, how about you? Were you expected to work in the store?
I was never forced to. I remember my dad bringing home boxes of inventory that we would mark as kids and sit in the family room at home and mark and mark and mark and mark and mark inventory for the Christmas or holiday season. And so that's kind of where I started, and then doing odd jobs, engraving and things like that, and more behind the scenes. And when I got out of college, graduated with a history and business degree, I kind of had a decision whether I wanted to do that full-time or what. And I took a little time and decided, opportunity I really couldn't pass up. As far as that goes. So.
Yeah, he came to me and asked me. We never put any pressure on him to be there. And he came to me one day and said, I think I'd like to go in the jewelry business. So that was an easy decision for us.
And so, at that point, it was you and my great uncle Arthur were partners in the store on Main Street. So
very good. Now, is that the original location for the store?
Under that name, yeah. Uh-huh. Because originally... Well, my dad and my uncle came into the business when my grandfather and Seyfried's had a split, and we came down the street and opened up the same day that they had a splitting of their ways.
Prior to that, do you know when it? Prior to 33, it was
22. It was Schlander and Seyfried's, I think, from 1922 till 33.
Okay, why did you pick the current building you're in?
That wasn't something we picked, either one of us.
No. That was before me. Uh-huh. I think that was just a building that was available to rent, and because we rented it for a long time before we bought it.
And now it's a historic building. Do you have any challenges living and operating out of a historic building?
Yeah, if you want to do something, you go through hoops to get it approved.
Yeah. We changed the windows on the front of the building, and... We, for much less money, we could have put in regular replacement windows.
Much nicer windows.
So, yeah, that would have been much nicer. And we had to have windows
custom made
that were historically correct and five times as much and not nearly as nice as modern windows. So, yeah, there are some issues with that. But all in all, it's not a bad thing, And... Historical Society doesn't necessarily know what's historical. I know they wanted to redo Cafe Felix next door, and they had a business plan. They had originally it had been Kittyland, and they had enameled metal storefront hiding what was there originally. And the Historical Society came in and said, this is what it has to be. This is what it traditionally has been. And when they pulled the metal siding off the front, the original drawings that they had almost matched exactly, and the Historical Society had said, you can't do those, it's not historically correct, but they didn't know what was under the metal siding until they pulled it off. So
Same way with Cunningham's. Cunningham's was a drugstore that was on the corner where the Greek restaurant is now, and that was pulled off and stored by the number so that they could put it back if the Historical Society did not approve
of what their plan was underneath.
Well, you did have to jump through some hoops.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, 1933, why, this is the height of the Depression. Why would someone choose to go into a luxury good business?
Well, we were already in it. We just, you know, split off.
Mm-hmm. Also, it started actually earlier than that.
Well, my grandfather started, I think, in 1886 as a watchmaker for Haller's, and that was an old jewelry store that was up there on University. It was up there around the corner, just between Moe's Port Shop and the corner where Alexander's Drugstore used to be, across from Hill Auditorium.
So you've seen a lot of changes on
retail. Oh, I didn't see that. That was retail.
But, you know, through the years that you've been in business, you name all these stores that used to be here and there on Main Street, so there's quite a...
Well, yeah, the downtown used to be strictly a business community, and now there's offices and everything else down there. The only office building would have been the Ann Arbor Trust Building, and that's the one that's Key Bank. Mm-hmm. But the bank really used all of the floors there for that, even. And then the one Bill Martin's got, First National, across the street from us, that was an office building. And the one up on the corner by the arena right across the street, that was an office building all the time, too. A lot of lawyers' offices in there.
Now, you're the third and the fourth generation to come into the business. What direction do you see your business going in the future?
I think we do more specialty items. We do a lot more custom work now.
Mm-hmm.
Our clientele has been leaning more towards, you know, individual items instead of wanting to buy something that everybody else has. And so we, even though we inventory pieces and have things to show, a lot of people will come in and say, I like this, I like that, I like this. And can you make something combining those? Or, you know, they'll bring us a picture or an idea. And, you know, we do an awful lot with that, which I think helps us because in the day and age of, you know, big box stores where you go in and everything's the same on every shelf, you can go into, a Walmart or a Meijer or someplace like that, and you know it's laid out the same. You know you can get the same product mm-hmm. everywhere. In luxury items, people buy them to make themselves feel good. They're not buying them, you know, because it's a necessity at all. So, you know, that's kind of the direction that we've gone, is more individualized and not have our inventory necessarily match somebody else's, you know, where they can go any place and find that, because that's not what
it's pretty hard to find stuff that's going to fit in every community. I mean, Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti is a good example. You can't sell the same thing in both towns because the clientele isn't the same. And the thing is that most of the chain stores, whether Walmart's or jewelry stores, Ales or something like that, are all pretty much preset by somebody. The person in the store has very little say on what they can inventory to sell you. And since we can custom make so much of that stuff, you may want it a little different twist, or it doesn't feel comfortable on your hand, or it's not the right length. We can alter it.
Now, have you seen the clientele change over the years, over the decades? Who were your typical customers now, and who might have been years ago?
Pretty much the same type of person. I mean, we've always catered to the people that want nice things. I mean, not everybody wants to own a Rolex watch, but some people just feel they can't get along without one. So, you know, we've still got the same niche as far as what our customer base is, probably, but it's just different people.
And we build things in all different price ranges. You know, if you have $5 to spend, we can find something, you know, in that price range. If you have, you know, no set limit, we can do that too, and someplace in between. So, you know, I think we get to the point where a lot of people come in and walk in the door and are overwhelmed by, you know, the price tags of some things. We have things in all different ranges, and, you know, custom really doesn't necessarily come with a custom price as well. So there's a lot of
it is your idea or mine. So.
Yeah.
Or ours. Oh, yeah.
A lot of multi-generational customers. And we still do a lot of work outside of town. Customers that Ann Arbor has a huge transient people that are here on residencies, doctors, you know, going to school, you know, with U of M here, Washtenaw, Eastern Michigan, all the different hospitals, and a lot of people don't necessarily live here anymore. We get calls every day from, you know, all over the country.
I bet you do a really stiff business on football weekends.
Well, believe it or not, that's a slower time. We have people that we don't see on a regular basis, but most of the Ann Arborites won't come down and fight the traffic. So
well,
our regulars aren't.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, art fair is the same way. We get people that just happen to be in town, you know, one day a year, and they'll stop in and see us, or, you know, have their rings cleaned, or it'll just come in, and they may have lived here for 25, 30 years. They've retired someplace else, and they, you know, come back for a football game or for the art fair or something like that. And so that's kind of fun, too, but it's not necessarily a big boon for our business, because our regular clientele won't come down and fight the traffic, so...
Now, I wanted each of you to tell me the most memorable sale you made. Maybe not necessarily the largest and the most expensive Rolex watch you sold, but one that really stays with you through the years, the most memorable sale you have.
Well, probably the one I would tell you. I had a customer came in, bought an engagement ring, and he gave blood to pay for it to the blood bank and got a check for donating.
Do you know how long ago? It was?
Oh, boy, that's got to be 40 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. That would be probably the most
memorable,
unusual thing. But he'd come in and give me the check for it like every 3 or 4 weeks. I can't remember, because he couldn't give blood every day. but he sold his blood to pay for his engagement ring.
That's wonderful. How about you, Chuck? Can you remember?
There's a ton. One of the things that I remember from a childhood is an older woman who used to bake lemon meringue pies for us, because she really didn't have money to pay for things. And she'd come in. It was never a big deal. She was looking for a watch band or a battery or, you know, something small. And she would say, "You have to stop by my house, you know, after work." And he would take me down at, like, Ann Street or something. Where did she live? Over on the Old West Side.
Yeah, she lived up on the hill on God Street or one of those. Yeah. Daniel or one of those streets, yeah.
And I can remember.
No, it was Spring. It was up, what's the one that comes down by Knights? Spring Street? I think it's Spring Street. Yeah, she lived up there.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
it was Old West Side. Yeah. And we used to go by there, and she'd have a lemon meringue pie for us. And
that
she'd
would be
always,
that thick.
Yeah, it would be 8 inches tall. And she,
and it was very good.
Yeah, yeah. She'd want us to sit down and talk and everything, and he'd always take me up there. And I was a little kid. It's one of the best memories I had. And it wasn't, you know, one of the biggest sales or anything like that. But
no, the biggest sales aren't. I mean, that's an event that is really nice to get, but it's not something that you categorize as, you know, an unusual.
Yeah. Just good memories and
just
things,
you know, the relation with those people.
Yeah.
Now, your sign says Schlanders and Sons, and you've just gone through the male line of the family. Has any daughters been involved in the business?
My sister worked in the business for a while, not as an owner, but she works at Bank of Ann Arbor now. She's
vice president.
Of commercial loan officer up there. She has a MBA.
Has any of the female in the family been involved
in
the business?
Well, she's the only one that would be of age.
Is that right?
Yeah. I have two daughters, but they're younger. They're going to both be in college this year, so.
Have they worked in the store?
They've been there and stuff.
Yeah, they've been
in
and out for, you know, takedown and things like that, but not as an employee. They have not. And there was no pressure for me to be in the store either, so. If it's something they want to pursue,
they're involved to the fact that you can't help but be.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's a family business.
Yeah, and they're not down there from 9 to 5 or something. Mm-hmm. But you know, they've always got something they want us to fix. It's one of their friends.
Oh yeah. So
now, what are some of the major changes in the retail landscape in Ann Arbor that you can see from your experience?
A lot of retail has come and gone. obviously the influx of all the restaurants and things like that have taken up a lot of the retail space.
Is it good for your business, the restaurants?
It's we've tried staying open late a few times. That's not necessarily our, that's when the restaurants, I think, are the busiest and more bustling. And, downtown Ann Arbor has a great nightlife and, a lot of people that come down for dinner and things. That's not necessarily our clientele. I think we're such a niche market that we're a destination. People, make it a point to come and see us. Parking's not necessarily easy. You have construction going on right out in front of here, and just coming the two blocks from our store to the library is interesting. Yeah. Today we had to go three blocks west to come two blocks east. So, it's changed tremendously. I remember, Goodyear, a lot of the clothing stores have gone out because they're not specialized. You can buy a white blouse and, socks and underwear any place nowadays, where it didn't used to be that way,
And places, but not downtown.
So not anymore. Yeah.
You're one of the very few businesses who have, made a great effort to stay downtown, and I'm sure the city is very appreciative of that. Is there anything the city could do to make life better, easier for you guys? I'm sure you guys are very active.
Of course, parking is always an issue. I've been to a few cities where they actually, and I don't know if this would help us or not, if we would stay open for it, but where they'll actually shut off a section of Main Street or, a section of the business district after 5 p.m. and to traffic to,
And it becomes a mall. Through,
yeah, it kind of becomes an outdoor mall.
And
so, I know a few places, Louisville, Kentucky does that, and it's a great spot, and I would love to see that happen in Ann Arbor. Whether it benefits us, anything that benefits Ann Arbor, the money that comes in here trickles down somewhere along the line. We don't see any benefit really from the art fair, but the hotels, the restaurants, those places do business, and they spend money with us. So, it's not necessarily direct, but, indirectly we thrive from that too. So,
now, you just mentioned peace. Business comes and goes. What attribute to your success and your longevity in the community?
Probably taking care of the customers. We try to, bend over backwards for. We've got philosophy. I want to sell you something, but I want you as a repeat customer, not necessarily just a one-time sale.
Yeah. So you take good care of your customers. They take very good care of you, and it ebbs and flows, and that's what we found. We try to treat everybody the same and try not to turn anybody away. Obviously, in the retail business, you can't be everything to everybody, but we try to do, the best we can, and I think people appreciate that and come back to you because of that.
Well, a lot of people send us customers, and they'll say, so-and-so sent me. So that's
our best advertising is word of mouth. So, you keep people happy.
They come back.
They come back and they take care of you. They send you people.
Okay, a little bit of trivia. I noticed that the Schlanderers have a really strong connection with U of M hockey.
Correct.
Why?
Well, Uncle Art was captain of the 1932 hockey team, U of M hockey team.
And so the name you play?
Yeah.
You were great supporters.
Well, yes, I played and Chucky played. Chucky's still playing. Our kids and the next generation grandchildren are all playing. So, in fact, his daughter even played travel hockey. So,
really? Local team? School team?
Local teams, not school teams. My son will probably play for Dexter. We live in Dexter now. My daughter played back and forth between Ann Arbor and Chelsea, depending on where they could field enough girls to have a team, and lots of times it was the same team, it just had a different name on it. They kind of bopped back and forth.
New logo.
I still play in two leagues, and so a lot of that's just family tradition more than anything. But Uncle Art got invited to the Olympics, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was. But you had to pay your own way then.
Yeah, couldn't afford to go and.
You don't have sponsors,
working, so
major sponsors.
Didn't have sponsors back then.
He bought his own skates even to play.
So, yeah.
Very good.
Do you get to know any of the other owners of the heritage businesses over time, like the Knights or others?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself
kinda, I grew up with
into?
Ray. And Fingerly's the generation that's just out of there, Brian and his brother. Yeah, I knew them and see them socially and stuff.
And their kids we see.
Yeah.
A lot of old Ann Arborites know each other. It's kind of amazing whether they're in businesses or not. You know, they may just happen to be in certain businesses or old-time businesses. But, yeah, you end up knowing people because you run in the same circles and everything. So I was thinking about Schlinkers. You know, Jerry Schlinker, they've now sold their hardware store, but he still does home repair and stuff like that, which is related, and I see him every once in a while. And so, yeah, there's a lot of those.
We had a golf outing a few years ago, and there was 16 of us played, and every one of them had grown up in Ann Arbor.
Is that right? Yeah. Now, you grow up living in Ann Arbor,
correct,
right? And now you live in?
I live in Dexter now, but I grew up in Ann Arbor as well. So,
is that a really very strong business community that help each other out, you get together and bounce ideas around?
Well, they help each other out. If you need something, you can go call them because you can get in to see them, and you know who to go see. But we don't have any organized meetings like the Chamber of Commerce type connection or something.
You may not talk to somebody for 5 or 10 years, and
they know who you are.
Yeah,
you
they know
who they are.
In a phone call, you
somewhere
know
along the line, you've had some
need
connection
or want something. Take care of each other. It's the way the community works. So,
have any of the more recent business owners tried to join in on that? Like, I'm thinking of Mark Hodesh, even though he's not that new compared to 1880s. He is. Do you find yourself building relationships with any of the newer businesses?
Well, we know you pretty well somewhere along the line because you introduce them to somebody or, you know, you want to make sure that you know who's in there and who's doing business before. If nothing else, if somebody comes in the store and wants to know where they can buy this or that, you want to send them someplace where you think they can get taken care of.
If you'd like to learn more about Schlanderer & Sons Jewelers, visit their website at schlanderer-and-sons-jewelry.com.
Music for this episode has been From the Score to the Back Page, composed and performed by Stephen Ball, available at aadl.org/backpage.
AADL Talks to Charles Schlanderer Jr. and Charles Schlanderer Sr. has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.